Welcome to The Bottom Line with your host, Yacoub Oyens. Are you ready to change your life? We're here to take you to your full potential with enlightenment from some of the most forward-thinking guests and ideas. Now, here is Yacoub Oyens.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's a good Thursday morning again. We're going to dive in and today going to have a little more discussion about COVID, but really not all COVID. We'll touch on some other things too, but we're going to have an amazing guest, Nan Haworth, former U.S. representative, first female physician to be elected to Congress. And Nan's going to talk to us a little bit about the medical profession and how we're dealing with what's going on at the moment, what's going on, you know, at ground zero, what's really happening with people in hospitals, how are they treating these folks, what works and what doesn't work. And what I'm excited to talk to Nan about is just how does the body work? You know, some of you know that I studied medicine. And mine was a little different than Nan's. I studied orthopedics. I never practiced medicine. You'd ask, why do you put yourself through that pain? I was in professional sport, and that took over. But I'm very appreciative of the years where I got to study the human body and how we work. But not to hear it from me. We're going to hear it from Nan. We're going to have a great conversation with Nan. So, Matt, producer, if you don't mind, why don't you bring Nan in for us? I believe Nan is on the phone.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nan. How are you doing?
I'm well. Privileged to join you. Yeah, so thank you.
I know you've done so much radio and talk format and podcast lately, so I want to thank you for being willing to do another one, Nan.
Thank you.
We here at The Bottom Line, it's really about distilling things, no hyperbole, bringing it down to something that's consumable for the audience, and where we can walk away after every show and go, okay, that can impact my life today. I know how to take that nugget and run with it. And it's so hard to introduce you because you've done so much. You know, by trade and going to school, you're an ophthalmologist. But being elected to Congress, if you don't mind, I want to just wind the clock back a little bit, Nan. I mean, there's something really special here. You may not know this, but on this show, we fight for women hardcore.
Yes, I know. I'm so thrilled to join you. Thank you. Yes.
And so you're a woman, amazing woman, the first, to my recollection, who is a physician that got elected to a congressional district. Can you walk us through that just a little bit about why you decided to jump into politics and kind of what that was like?
Yes. It was not anything I would ever have expected. I was very privileged to practice ophthalmology for nearly 20 years here about an hour north of New York City. And, Yacoub, when you said you want people to take home something, you want to take home something every day, you want your listeners to take home something every day, a tangible sense that you've done real good, and that was the blessing of practicing medicine. I could literally do some good for folks every day, good Lord willing. But I gave it up actually in 2005 because we have two kids and they were driving us nuts, so I ended up after a couple of years working in communications as a medical expert, and I would listen to conservative talk radio during late hours at the office. This was in the 2008 election cycle. And when President Obama and the overwhelming Democratic majority in the House and Senate were elected, I was very, very troubled. I feared that the government would badly overreach, and I am the daughter of an immigrant, and deeply, deeply value what our Constitution has designed for us—the most liberating and humane document in all of history—and government must be constrained for that to work. So I was very troubled, and my husband suggested to me that I run for Congress in the said 19th District of New York, which was at the time actually a net Democratic district, but had voted for Republicans for decades until the then incumbent, who was a Democrat, who voted for Obamacare, was not a bad person. We ran a very civilized campaign. I learned an awful lot about bare knuckle aspects of some parts of politics, and I was adopted by many friends who took good care to shepherd me through the process with integrity, able by dint of it was great. Time to run, and yes, people were pleased to see a physician running for Congress when they were so concerned about health care, and I became the first female physician elected. There are others who have now succeeded me in that type of demographic, if you will, but I was the first female physician elected to a full term as a member of Congress.
Look, congratulations again on that.
Well, thank you for
your service just to mankind as a doctor, as a physician. I mentioned earlier, I studied medicine and but I never practiced, so I was a sucker for punishment there a little bit. It took so long to go through that process because I was playing professional sport. I was playing rugby, and it was orthopedics.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it was orthopedic, but the body just made sense to me, right? And it's something that fascinated me, and I think that's why it's so interesting when we see. And I say that because I think we're seeing a trend here, and we need to see more of it. That's why it's so interesting when we see people come from the real world and they step into politics. I think that's why people, that's why people are hanging on so much of what Dr. Fauci is saying, or they're hanging on so much of what, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was saying, or I'll look, for instance, what's happening at the moment with Kayleigh McEnany, the new press secretary for the White House. You know, people want to know, I believe, that real people are representing them in Washington, D.C. And I think what we've seen lately is these career politicians. And look, I've got family that's politicians. So I'm not saying wanting to be a politician is a bad thing. But there's just something about bringing real world into Washington. Am I completely nuts or is this something people are looking for?
No, you're eminently sane. Yako, I would say, and you know this well because you chose to come to America and to take nothing's more moving than a naturalization ceremony for someone in Austin, at least for me.
It's unbelievable. I mean, it's one of the greatest days of my life, not just becoming an American citizen, but finish your comment, and then I want to tell folks just a little bit about what that feels like. But yeah, a legal immigrant. I'm a proud legal immigrant.
Yes, I so admire you for that. And I couldn't get through one of those ceremonies without tearing up because it was just so beautiful to witness people actively relinquishing all previous. Affiliations, to become an American, you are the most American of the Americans because you know what you have embraced. And what I worry about, apropos of politics, very quickly, and politicians, is that we who did not have to study, whose American. Citizenship was bestowed on us by virtue of our birth. Generations past had to study civics, had to study the Constitution in a very serious way. I was blessed in my hometown of Munster, Indiana, to have a great education in that. But we don't do that so much anymore. So unfortunately, when political figures see their role, and it's all too tempting to see their role as to be the hero who bestows gifts upon their constituency or their electorate. And their electorate looks to those figures to bring those gifts home. then it becomes a very dangerous phenomenon that threatens the welfare of the country as a whole. Then we view government as the provider to us, when it should not be a provider but a protector of our rights to provide for ourselves and to provide for others through our generosity and charity.
So that's the biggest concern that I have about politics. Now I know why so many people are having you on. And you know, Gillian Anderson was saying, Yaku, this woman, you got it. This woman is so powerful. And thank you for sharing that with folks. And I also want to just bring a little bit of hope to the listener. Look, there are, Nan is a physician. She's a mother. She's a wife, a politician. You know, there are sane and healthy and well-intended politicians that understand that our founding fathers set this country up for government to be a custodian. Government needs to steward a certain set of rules and documents that they set up, not out of thin air, by the way, Nan. They set it up because they believe those were God-ordained rights, and the sets of documents protect the rights that were given by God. These were not things that man came up with. Man looked at what was good, removed as much bad as possible, and said, now let's set up some guidelines for when we're not here, that others can steward these rules well. And how far we've come from that. I look at Governor Gavin Newsom, and look, you don't need to, but I talk about individuals specifically, not to disgrace people. I did a video yesterday where I'm literally imploring him. I said, come on, you know, what are you going to do when your people can't eat? And it is this demigod mentality of, well, I will hand out to the peasants. I'm reminded in the early years when there was a castle and peasants lived outside the castle, about 200 people inside the castle, and you work outside, you bring all the grain to the storehouse, and we may give you 2 or 5% of the grain, and we'll take care of your family. It's imploding all around the world. We can't function in Africa because of this kind of mentality. And so this is the United States. It's the last man standing for being the lighthouse on the hill, and it's people like you that have walked the halls of Washington, D.C., people like Marsha Blackburn, who I really appreciate, and our president, President Trump, who's coming in as a businessman. And people say, Yaku, I don't like how he does this. I don't like – and my response is always, are you looking to marry the man? Is that your intention? Do you want to marry him? Because you're analyzing him as if you want to marry the man. He's not here. You don't even really need to like him. Your question is just, if I write a job description for a job, and I'm going to go out to the market to hire somebody, and I'm going to get CVs in, you know, curriculum vitae's in, bios in. Lay down, most Americans couldn't write the job description of an American president. That's problem number one. They couldn't tell you what the guy's job actually is. Because once you can write down what the guy's job is, now you just let the facts speak. Is he doing his job? Well, yes.
Exactly.
Do you like him? And someone might say, no, it doesn't matter. You don't need to marry the man. Right. You don't even have to have lunch with him. You know? Right. Is he doing his job? I'd argue the best I'd ever seen. I made a comment the other day and people are like, how dare you say that? I said, I believe for me he's a better president than Ronald Reagan. And people are like, how can you say that? This is, I know, disgrace to Ronald Reagan. I'm looking at the brevity of the issues the man tackles. Most politicians will stay in the lane and they'll have these campaign issues and they'll stay there and they'll fight them, right? And they narrow it narrower and narrower. These guys walking and chewing gum at the same time and waking up every morning with a double-decker stress sandwich and under attack. And thankfully, there's folks like you. So if we can segue a little bit to medicine.
Sure.
How important is it, and these are obvious questions, but you're the expert, okay? I never practiced medicine, so I was never licensed. So, I mean, I practice on my family illegally. I mean, I'll help them with that. Remember, it's orthopedics, folks.
Yeah, so every mother does the same thing.
It's orthopedics, folks. I didn't write scripts. I was helping bones and muscles, okay? I did it last week. And not
get nowhere from just, you speak.
Yeah. But help us a little bit why it's important. So much is being said about Obamacare and healthcare system and all this stuff. You know, it's always in the election cycle. It's always talked about. Why is it so important for people to have healthcare? just bring a little perspective for us to, and even your opinion, just on why is it so? Why is this issue such a huge issue? I mean,
yeah. Well, Yaku, I think a couple of ways to frame this, and one is, as you know, as your listeners know, you know, our bodies, it's true. Our bodies are our temples. We have been endowed by the Creator with miraculous physical beings. And I, you know, I look at, I was privileged to study developmental biology with one of the world's greatest experts, and the way in which we are designed, in which we form, is truly something that we should marvel at every day. As I'm looking at leaves outside the window right now, you know, how we are formed is something that, you know, it's astonishing. So we understand, you know, existentially, that being able to care for our bodies, being able to care for our health, because of course things do go wrong. You know, there are invaders. There are invaders like the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. We don't want to see, you know, we have a fundamental value, in our society as compassionate people. We don't want to see anyone who is in need go without that need being fulfilled. And that I think we all understand very well. The problem comes in when we see government, as, and it goes back to what we were talking about before, as the provider of care, instead of seeing the proper role for government as assuring that we have access to care, that no one is blocking our access to care, and that, you know, removing those impediments as a matter of, you know, rights, is appropriate, but to look at ourselves as not responsible for making sure that as a society we can do these things within within the realm of our innovation and our charity and our wise provision of goods and services, you know, government tends to distort those things very badly and to make a lot of bad decisions that, you know, it forces us to pay for. Government is different from the marketplace because government has the force of arms. You know, we cede certain liberties to the government so that it has the force of arms to enforce our laws. Well, you know, when government has that kind of power, then it can force us to pay for and cooperate with bad decisions. And that's the problem with putting healthcare in the hands of the government, especially the federal government, which was never designed to provide healthcare. In fact,
yeah,
it was specifically
right.
designed basically yeah. not to do things like that,
yeah.
you know, not to get involved in commerce. And if I can just have one more aside here, Yaku, as you know, there's a whole movement, especially among younger people, against, quote, capitalism. Well, capitalism literally means putting the power in the hands of the individual citizens. We can be owners. We can be managers. We can be providers. We can be sellers. We can be consumers. That's what capitalism is. It's free enterprise. It's markets. It's us. You know, it's giving us the power.
I'll tell you, I do a lot of, Charlie Kirk is such a champion. Charlie's like a little, he's a brother. And I do a lot. I speak on a lot of Turning Point campuses around the nation. I mean, the 30 something last year. And here's, we have a highly, highly intelligent young generation who has a lot of information, but I'll put it this way, my opinion. They've got a lot of information, but it is surface level. It's 3 inches deep. And they've got all these talking points like politicians, okay? And they can hit the politics.
Yeah.
But the second you say, okay, pause on that topic, pause on that one topic, good point, let's go a mile deep. No way. They can't. There's no conviction.
Yeah.
And you said earlier, that immigration ceremony, I want people to understand.
Yeah.
You write a test when you come to this country that I think, and I'm being very presumptuous here, I know, but I think I'm right because I've tested people on the test. I think 60%
sure
of Americans.
Right.
I think 60% of Americans will fail that test.
You're being generous, Yaku.
they'll fail the immigration test, and it's not in a way their fault, but it's about, listen, we can't be surface level. We have to be able to distill things down to conviction, to a heart matter. Yeah. To say, why are you protesting capitalism? Well, capitalism does this. Do you understand at the core what capitalism is? It means you get the freedom. The hypocrisy in our society, in American society, is driving me nuts, Nan. I'll give you an example. And yeah. I don't know if you're a football gal, but if you love football, but let's just talk football for a second, okay?
Sure.
We say, as the NFL, that a referee has a whistle, right? Those are the arms you're talking about. We give government the ability to enforce law. Referee, here's the rule book. You have a whistle. But that referee cannot call a single play. That referee can't make a substitution. That referee can't tell a coach what to do or what not to do, you know, during the course of the game within the rules, right?
Right.
There's two different guys on the sideline. Each can do freely as they want and prepare. The referees are there to navigate and negotiate and manage the rules of engagement. But they really don't affect what, and that's government. Now, why can we accept that in the NFL as a society? And we can unite. I don't hear anybody stand up and go, listen, I'm just against the NFL because it's set up as a capitalist system. The referee should be able to tell the players what play to run. How preposterous would that be?
The referee should be playing the game. It's like, no, that's not the way this works. Exactly. They're not the managers. They are the ones who enforce the rules. And they can stop the play, right? They have enormous power. They can stop the play.
Oh, yeah.
They can
within the rules. Within the rules. And if the referee makes a bad call, all the fans go up in arms. But now we're watching guys like Gavin Newsom as a referee making some calls. He's calling plays.
He's now the manager. Right. He's now the manager. So if you make the referee the manager and the referee can enforce the rules because the referee has that force of authority, then the referee can decide maybe he prefers one team over the other. And all of a sudden, you know, that favored team starts scoring the goals. Okay.
Referees
and that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Right. And that's exactly what happens with government, and I saw it firsthand. So when we pass a big law, frankly, starting with Medicare, but, you know, I'm one of those people who says, you know, Medicare should be in the hands of states, not in the hands of the federal government.
I agree.
And even then, I'm dubious about these things. There are great ways. And by the way, Yaku, you may be familiar with his work, but John Goodman, the Goodman Institute, has amazing information and policy recommendations on how we can manage our healthcare better. And he is advising President Trump and the Trump team, which has been great for us, to open up opportunities for Americans to have access to affordable insurance and affordable care that they choose in ways that government, when it imposes on us, cannot possibly do. And you're right about President Trump versus any other president in our history. He has done more to advance the cause of enterprise and to advance our rights as Americans to be informed consumers, including in healthcare, and empowered consumers than any president in our history. But when you pass a law like Obamacare, you know what happens? And this is what happened. And I know from healthcare from the inside, the big players are the ones who do well. Big insurance, big hospital systems, right? All the, you know, the big pharma, they have their lobbyists. They have, and by the way, I'm not opposed to lobbyists. The biggest lobbying group in the country is AARP. Interestingly enough, a lot of folks don't know that. We all have the right to petition our government. So there's nothing wrong with lobbyists. There is something wrong with lobbyists when they buy themselves pieces of the tax code and regulations. That's wrong. But to press your case to the government, that's okay. But they've all got their lobbyists. They've all got their attorneys. They've all got, you know, they've all got their ways of navigating the system. It's the little guys who don't. You know, it's the mom and pops. It's the small medical practices. Why should a small medical practice have any less right to exist and to thrive than an enormous one? And yet
It's so, again, the hypocrisy. Right. You know, they'll come and say, well, we want to give, we want to take away power from all the big corporations. We know the 14, 17, 21 folks who ran for nomination before it looks like Joe Biden's going to be their guy. All of them came and said, hey, Bernie Sanders, big corporations. No, what you're doing is exactly the opposite. Something like Obamacare and nationalized healthcare gives the big players all the power. I lived in Canada, Nan. You know, I immigrated to the United States, then I played football in Canada at the Argonauts, and I saw what nationalized healthcare looks like. I lived there. I lived under, practically communist, status in apartheid in South Africa. I've tasted, and that's probably my problem with Americans. They don't know what it took to get us here. They don't know, know how important it is to defend what came before us. You can't just flippantly, toy with these things. You know, this is why we are the United States of America. We are here to be free.
Exactly. And as Ronald Reagan said, we have to defend our freedoms from generation to generation. And that is exactly what I worry about, Yaku. People like you are our flame keepers, basically, because you understand, you have lived that difference. You cherish in a way that is profound what it means to be American, because you know exactly. You said, I will become an American.
Those
of us who were born to be, who were born Americans, we can take it for granted. Never, ever take it for granted, because we could lose it and never get it back.
That's the problem, is once you, give them a pinky, they take the arm, you don't get it back.
Yep.
And this is historically what's happened in our country. This is how prayer was removed from schools. This is why the church doors are still shut in California, because once you forfeit, you retreat. I mean, this is, Nan, can I ask you a huge favor? Can you stay with us through the break and into the second segment? Because I want to get a little deeper into COVID and some things, but you're such do 4-hour conversation with you. You're an amazing woman. Right before the break here, what I want people to know is we can't run a family with a dictator. Think about it, folks. You at home, husband, wife, let's say 3 kiddos. What a blessing. If your husband is a dictator, do you like that scenario? If he makes all the decisions, if he's the sole provider, not just a provider, but nobody has any input, isn't it healthier where you teach your children, come to us with your concerns, converse with us? Well, yes, Yaku, I like that. Okay, that's called lobbying government. The children come to the parents and say, listen, you're here by God to steward us, to help us get up, but you need to give us freedom also to learn. Or would a wife like for a husband just to be a dictator? I love to boil it down like this to people, but when they go, no, I wouldn't want a house like that. You know, Ben Affleck, one of them, and a couple other Hollywood's homes, when they all were like, we don't need borders in this country. And I stood outside a couple of these homes with 40-foot hedges, armed guards at the gate. And I said, so who elevated you in society that you can have a border wall in Beverly Hills on Wilshire Boulevard and, in the nation can't? It's like there's a sickness, a mental issue going on here that we're going to dive into. Guys, Nan Hayworth, don't go anywhere. This woman is going to enlighten us. No pressure, but she can handle it. Come on. First female physician nominated to Congress. And by the way, I'll tease you with this. She's an expert of the eye. The eye, folks. Mm. The window to your soul. Okay? After the break, we're coming back with Nan Hayworth. Stand by.
Voice America is available on your Google connected device.
Okay, Google, play Turning Hard Times into Good Times podcast on iHeartRadio.
Try it today.
The future of our nation is our children. Life is precious. For more information about how you can help Yaku fight child sex trafficking in the USA, go to sharetogethernow.org. Yaku fights for life and liberty and is called to transform culture through uplifting entertainment to resemble God's character. Follow Yaku on all social media and subscribe to his Instagram and YouTube channels, as well as the Falkirk Center on social media. Learn about his film, TV series, and book projects, and support his efforts at yakuboyans.com. Truth sets you free, and that's the bottom line.
We don't follow, we lead. Join us, the Voice America Influencers Channel.
You're listening to The Bottom Line with Yaku Boyans. If you'd like to reach the program today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or email info@afteredenpictures.com. Now, back to The Bottom Line.
We're back after the break, folks. I want to remind you that I support Culture of Life, a clothing brand, COL1972.com. Why 1972? It's the last year where we did not know the thing called Roe v. Wade. We defend life and we stand for life. And I stand with that brand 100%. And they are generous enough that if you go and buy some clothing from them at COL1972.com, that they will give towards our fight against child sex trafficking, and every cent goes towards that. We have an amazing woman with us, and that is kind of par for course, because we love to champion strong women, Nan, and you're one of those. And I want to tell the people that somewhere in your late high school years, and I'm going to talk about you there. No, I don't have a secret. I'm not going to uncover anything. But somewhere in your late high school years, or maybe earlier than that, a bug got into you that said, I want to help people. I'm going to study medicine. And in the formation, knowing medicine, you go do general, you know, pre-med, and you do that. And then you select, for me, it was orthopedics. For you, it was ophthalmology, which, folks, is the eye. And how amazing is it that we have a woman here who's an expert in the eye, who became an astute warrior and a champion in the halls of Washington, D.C., to say, I want to go serve the people, who left that profession of being an ophthalmologist to be a mom, saw the need for her children to have me. You are a role model. That's a role model, folks. Somebody, and does that mean Nan is perfect or Yaku? No. Jesus was and is and will come back again and is only one. But here's a woman that I would say is present. And I want my listeners to be present mentally. Be present. Don't drift off and just lap up with the media's. Think for yourself. Think about your family. Distill it down. So when we distill it down, you have children. I have a 9-month-old that's crawling all over the floor. People go, right? And it's wonderful. Good for him, right? We have an immune system. Yeah. Nan, how important is our immune system, and especially in this COVID fight? Should we freak out? Because I was raised in Africa, where we drank from fire hoses, garden hoses. Yeah, I drank with the dog. I mean, my mouth and the dog's mouth and the garden hose at the same time. I played outside more. I didn't have, folks, we only got internet the year of my high school, so we didn't have Xbox. We played with mud and sticks and, you know, outside. Maybe that's need to go back there a little bit.
We do. Absolutely. Yaku, we have among God's miracles for us are that we actually, our home, our bodies, are home to quadrillions of microbes, especially in our GI tracts, in our guts. And they perform very, very important functions. We're learning more about what they do every day, basically. But one of the functions of our interaction with other organisms in the world is that when we're exposed as children to microbes, to bacteria, to fungi, to viruses. Now, again, we know that, you know, some of them and, you know, our bodies are diverse, you know, humanity is diverse. So, you know, for some of us, some of those exposures will in fact cause disease because our immune system will be overwhelmed. So, of course, that's why we have means of treating disease, and I'm glad we do. But we need those exposures when we're children to the fullest extent that we can manage them, because they do train the immune system, basically prime it to be more robust when challenges come along, so that our bodies aren't overwhelmed. Viruses, let's talk about COVID-19. Let's talk about the novel coronavirus. So this virus can latch on to certain cells in our bodies via certain molecules, certain complex molecules that are on the surface of some of our cells. They're not on all of our cells, but they are in the respiratory tract and in our blood vessels. So the COVID-19 disease that the novel coronavirus causes is distinctly marked by blood vessel complications in some people. Now, the majority of human beings go through this infection and may not even, it may be that most of them who have it don't even know they have it, or they have very mild symptoms. But those most severely affected, it's because that virus has latched onto their, to certain cells and multiplied. It's, you know, viruses are bots. You know, we talk about them living. That it's a very specific definition for a virus. They are basically little molecular bots. And what they do is they latch onto our cells. They can then force their way in. They release their genetic material, which contains instructions just for them to be replicated. That's what they do. They replicate themselves. And that's all that, frankly, any organism needs to do to perpetuate itself, is just, you know, replicate its DNA, replicate its form. And that's what these viruses do. So they produce millions and millions and millions of themselves because of, you know, that's you know, that's what they're built to do. Our immune systems will recognize them as invaders and recognize that diseased cells need to be destroyed and replaced, and this replication of viruses needs to stop. And that's the way we fight off viruses, whatever the illness may be, or whatever the invader may be. But it's certainly thought that, you know, an immune system that has been exposed and primed to a wide variety of potential invaders stands a better chance of fighting off new ones. So it's very important for us to be exposed to children.
Yeah, because life is about balance. It's always about balance. You know, whenever you tip the scale heavily in one direction, just like I said, well, Yaku, let's talk politics. We're going to veer back to politics here because we are, folks, in an election here. We are, and it feels like we never left the election here because it's been just a barrage of lies and good night. I mean, and I look, we'll get there in a second. One last thought for me on this issue is I my children are young, and because I just vowed that I wasn't going to marry while being an athlete because I thought that was dysfunctional, and so my children are young. And they'll tell you. You can talk to my five-year-old. My five-year-old will frequently say to Americans, you know, and of course she's born and raised in America. She's, you know, my wife is a Tennessean girl from an amazing family and born and raised, University of North Carolina student. But my girls, my daughters will tell you, oh, this is what they do in Africa. They'll often say, my dad does this. This is what they do in Africa. People go, what did she mean by that? I go, because I let my kids grow up a little bit like I grew up in Africa by design. I do it intentionally. It's not comfortable to do. It's much more comfortable to just say, here's an Xbox, here's a screen, do this, do that. It's no.
Yeah.
Because I believe in balance. And so I want to segue into the imbalance in politics. Where we have gone in politics, and why is it so essential that we look different post-COVID? And no, do I think the COVID virus goes away? No, you can't. It's like saying, Yaku, we're going to eliminate flu. It's never going to be there. I believe they'll. Right. This is me speaking. This is not a medical opinion, and I'm not speaking for Nan Hayworth here. But this is me saying, look, we're going to have years where we go, hey, it's COVID season. It's flu season. It's going to come, folks, because how could you ever eliminate a virus, or how would you ever be able to tell? That line of thinking is preposterous. But how imbalanced are we in politics today when it comes to this issue, which is probably the greatest issue, it's going to be a huge issue. I pray we get to a debate stage. I know the left, they don't want a debate. They don't want Joe Biden debating Donald Trump. I pray we get to a debate stage so that we can say, okay, so you folks want more of that? You want more shutdown? You want more California? You want more Gavin Newsom? You want more of that? How important is it that we learn from COVID, not just about medicine, but about how dangerous it is when we give government too much power?
Right. Oh, Yaku, I couldn't agree more. And here's the challenge that we have. This is what we face right now is, and I mean this pretty much literally, like a combination of World War II, the Great Depression, and the 1918 influenza pandemic rolled into one and imposed on us at once, just abruptly. It's that magnitude of crisis. We see it in our economy. We see it in the way we have to reorder our resources. We see it in the way supply chains are affected, aside entirely from the most profound concern we have, which is literally with people's lives, with this death toll, because this is, for some of us, a devastating and indeed lethal disease. So in times of exigency, in times of war, essentially, that's when we grant substantial powers to governments, both at the federal and state level, even the local level. We do grant them substantial powers to protect the public good in an externalized, if you will, an externally imposed crisis. Governors have the power to impose significant regulations, stringent regulations, on the populations of their states. They can be challenged in that regard, and they should be, but they can do that. And what we're seeing, unfortunately, is that, some of these governors, the ones who have been the most, have done the most that we could question, this sort of arbitrary exertion of power, have been on the Democratic side. There have been Democratic governors who, in fairness to them, have not been heavy-handed in the same way. But certainly we see it in Michigan, we see it in New York, we see it in California, most conspicuously, Illinois, too. It almost seems arbitrary, especially as concerns religious observances, which I find very troubling. Why can your big box store be open, but, you can't, even in a parking lot, people can't gather to worship God. Why is that not essential, right? Why is the nourishing of our souls not essential?
You're about to set me off on this. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's that cherry picking. And I have to. Let me inject something here, if I may, not to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I just love listening to you.
But no, not at all.
I believe they're cherry picking because there's an agenda. There is a political motive at play. There's gamesmanship going on. And then at the same time, you want us to believe that lives are being lost, which they are, and how important it is.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, for instance, the guys on the left. Oh, we got to save lives, but you're playing with lives. This case, it's one thing to say, I was saying a friend of mine owns a large, large restaurant chain in this country, right? And so I say, look, there has to be a binary approach to this thing. There has to be economic triage and surgery.
Exactly.
There has to be medical triage and surgery. You have to have both. You can't just say, well, Anthony Fauci, you're now in charge, and we're just going to dismiss all business in this country. No, without an economy, we don't have a country. And so you have to address these things. But the second the president says, hey, I'm going to have a new task force that's going to look at the economic surgery needed here, what we need to do here, how we revive, then all of a sudden he doesn't care about life, and it's insane for me. Again, the imbalance.
Right. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
No, it's just, what do we do between now and November about helping Americans understand that we're going to be okay, we're going to survive, everybody's not going to die, people lost lives.
Right.
My family lost a life during COVID. My personal family, I spoke about on the show. And now this amazing woman who served this nation that lost her life had other conditions. I mean, there was many things going on in her body. But
right.
So we understand this. I'm not talking about things we don't understand. But we can't jump on this bandwagon of, you know, keep California shut down for another 3 months. I mean, that's devastation.
Right. And you're absolutely right, Yaku. This is this is almost an omnifactorial problem. I mean, it is every aspect of our lives that must be considered as you've said, a balanced approach to this crisis. So we have figures in government who have enormous power, who are running very close to abusing that power. Wartime is very different from peacetime. I've got an old expression that I have always used. War is a status paradise, right? Franklin Roosevelt was actually a disastrous president as concerns the economy through the Great Depression. Amity Schlaes has written brilliantly about that in The Forgotten Man and other works. But when World War II came around, he finally had an excuse, basically, to nationalize enormous swaths of the economy, you know, Dr. Win the War. And arguably, maybe that was necessary, you know, shipbuilding and armaments and all the mobilization and so on. But that's not the same as peacetime. And in peacetime, we need government to be constrained and modest and to take over less, to relinquish whole areas that it has taken on in enterprise, in intervening in our personal lives. We need government to relinquish those controls and those overbearing influences that have terribly inflated and reduced access to health care, housing and mortgages, education. Yaku, the list goes on and on.
Yeah,
but certainly just those, right? Government intervention in all of those areas has artificially inflated the price of goods and services, has decreased access, has decreased availability, unfortunately, because it thwarts innovation, because government just tends inherently to be influenced by those who get the voice of the get the ear of the politicians, and we pay for bad decisions. So what folks need to take home is that we actually, and the only way government's going to change, Yaku, the only way is if we change it. We cannot expect, and this is another lesson I learned, you know, we can all shake our fists at the folks in Washington, and, you know, certainly we do. People in Congress and people in the Senate and even people in the White House, you know, why can't you just change it? They won't change anything unless we, the electorate, demand it, unless we actively demand of our public servants, we want you to roll back these programs. We want you to get the government out of student loans. We want you to get the government out of its interventions in housing. We want the government to get out of healthcare. We know it's going to take a thoughtful approach, and it may take decades to actually do it, but we want you to do it. And they don't get that message generally, Yaku, because people get very scared. Once they're dependent, then they're worried that they're going to lose something.
Yeah, we have to have Americans understand your freedom is
exactly
more important even than safety. Freedom is why. Look, if you don't want freedom, and I'm being seriously, if you don't want freedom, then move to a nation with a dictatorship.
Right.
But you're gonna cry 30 days in. You know, I firmly believe that. And this is me again. I'm not speaking for now. You guys, you know, I'm just gonna give it to you. I believe.
Go ahead.
I wish every American could serve in the military, number one, because we need some discipline and some things to come back. But I believe that no American child leaving high school should be able to go straight to college. They need to go abroad and go work for six months in a service-oriented fashion.
Yeah.
And watch when they come back and they walk off that airplane, they'll kiss the ground. They'll say, praise God.
Yeah.
For the United States of America. And they'll come and sing a song of, guys, you know how important freedom is? You know, freedom. Freedom. It's all about freedom. And we're forfeiting freedom.
We
can't do
that. That's our brand. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our brand. Our brand as Americans is freedom. You know,
I
worked
brand.
In the yeah, I worked in the communications industry. I worked for brands, you know, as a medical director, fascinatingly enough. And that is the American brand. If you want to be American, you are saying, I want to be free. And I understand that accepting that responsibility means that I'm going to make mistakes. And it
of
doesn't
course.
Mean we can't have a safety net for each other. And in fact, you know, that's what great communities do. And by the way, taking it back to faith, great democracies can only survive if their citizens have a moral foundation, a faith foundation. They understand their place in the universe. They understand their unique blessings as children of God, and they understand their obligations as citizens to do the right thing for their fellow citizens without the coercion of government.
Absolutely, because the only subset, the only construct that is unchangeable is the Word of God. It doesn't change, and the foundational principles of it is about morality. It's about being fair and just. It's about godly
yep.
righteousness. It's about servanthood. It's about serving your neighbor, treating your neighbor as yourself.
Sure.
All the things that the left so get on a rant about, and then they want to dismiss God, the anti-God movement. I want to sit them down and say, okay, tell me exactly what you want again. Every single thing there is
yeah.
in the Word of God, but it's wrapped in freedom. Even God,
right.
think about this, folks, for 1 second. Even God is not a dictator. God does not say, oh, Nan, you
right.
will serve me. No, Nan, you have the choice. I give you,
right.
I'm going to lay the facts and the truth in front of you, and I give you life or I give you death. I give you a
right.
rock or I give you bread. Which would you choose?
Right.
And so
right.
it never works when we give government power, especially
right.
not when it comes to healthcare. This is Nan Haworth. If you've been listening, follow this woman. Go to Wikipedia. There are sane people coming from Princeton and Cornell, by the way, okay?
Thank you, Doctor.
I had to throw that in there, and that's not necessarily a plug to Princeton and Cornell, but come on, folks. We can't stereotype
Thank
people.
You.
It's about free thinking.
Yeah.
It's about ingenuity and entrepreneurship. Nan, you're a warrior.
Yeah.
An
thank
hour
you.
Doesn't do
oh,
you justice.
Thank you.
Okay? We
oh,
thank you
so
in this
too,
nation.
Too thank
Don't
you.
Stop. Thank you
thank
for being a warrior, for change, for good. I'd
thank
love
you.
To have you back. Love to have you on the TV show.
I'd
we want to
honored.
Champion what you're doing. I want
thank
to
you. And
send you send you off here today with a blessing from God to say
thank
we
you.
Honor and respect you as a woman, as a mama, as a wife, as a champion in the community.
Thank you.
Your insights are so valuable. In 1 minute,
thank
Nan,
you.
Do you...
Sure.
And then I'll sign us off here. But in 1 minute, distill a message for us for the next 6 months for Americans as we lead into electing a president again. And I pray we elect Donald J.
Sure.
Trump so that we can really,
as do I.
January next year, shrink government.
Absolutely. Yaku, the one thing I would offer to people is this. Vote on policy, not on rhetoric. And President Trump represents by far the best policy prescriptions for this country. And tell your friends, I think probably most of your listeners, Yaku, are of like mind with us. But there are a lot of folks out there who need persuading. And the argument I always make is this. You know, it's not about a personage and, you know, the way the he or she may bluster or, you know, may fall on your ear in a certain way. It's about what they're going to do. What are their
yeah.
deeds? And this president's deeds have been amazing. And that's what, you know, again, we know that, but that's the evangel that we need to preach.
Yeah.
Look
yeah,
at the
no.
policy. Look at what they do.
For sure. For sure. Folks, that's Nan Haworth. Look at the actions. Look at the fruit. Again, that's biblical. Again, we're going to find the truth
yes.
there. Nan, God bless you. Thank you, amazing woman.
Thank you, Yaku.
This is the bottom line. Thanks
you.
For listening. We'll talk to you again next week, folks. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week. Spread the good news.
Thank you for tuning in to The Bottom Line. Please join your host, Yaku Boyens, for another edition of the program, Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time and 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Influencers Channel. Listen for more enlightenment on our next show.